Mark chapter 11, verse 20 through 26, I'd like to read and get into the message. It says that in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, that's the fig tree that the Lord cursed the day before in verse 14, because he found no fruit on it. He said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." The next day when they walked by, they saw the tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, verse 21, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away." And my text is verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." I want to speak this morning on the subject of have faith in God. Have faith in God. Everybody puts their faith somewhere. Every one of us has perfect faith. We all put it in some direction. A person gets on a plane, trust in the pilot and the integrity of the plane to take them from one point to another. Get inside your car, perfect faith, you trust your brakes, your engine, your suspension, everything else. We all have perfect faith, and we all act upon our perfect faith in many, many different areas of life. You walked into the building today, not one of you checked the structure of the roof or the pillars to see if anything was going to fall down, or the lights or the electricity. We walked into the building with perfect faith that it was going to stay up. We all have faith. The Bible says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. In verse 18, it says, "The scribes and the chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him. For they feared the people, because all people were astonished at his doctrine." Now, his doctrine is his word. Everybody was astonished at his word. And then everybody was astonished at his works. They said, "Look at the fig tree. You just cursed the fig tree yesterday, and it's dried up from the roots." And the Lord said, "This is nothing, this little 20-foot-high fig tree. Any human being with an axe could come along and whack this thing down in about 5 minutes. But if you'll have faith, you can say to this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, it'll happen." And I want you to understand, Jesus said, "Whatever you shall pray in faith, believing, you shall have whatever you desire." And I want you to notice that people in this story were astonished at his word, and they were astonished at his works. Jesus Christ is the same today as he was when the Bible was written. And we too today can be astonished at his words, and we can be astonished at his works. You can pick up the Bible any day of your life and read it, and you can be astonished. If you'll read it with an open and a humble heart, it won't be long, but you'll come across some passage every day of your life, and you'll say, "Wow! Wow, what a book! This is an amazing, inexhaustible book that can show you some of the deepest truths and mysteries of your life, and there's not a person in this room, including myself, that has ever come close to scratching the surface of everything that is contained in this inexhaustible book." I want to encourage you to read the Word of God, and just like they said in our story, you'll be astonished at His doctrine and at His Word. Is this book still alive to you? I hope it is. I hope you're reading it every day. But not only is Jesus the same today, and you can be astonished at his words, but you can also be astonished at his works and what he wants to do for you. They were astonished at his works. Peter said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And he answered, Have faith in God. He said, This is nothing. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall believe, and shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he asks. Do you believe that this morning? Do you practice that this morning? Have you lifted this promise from the Word of God and said, Wow, what potential there is in my life of faith, what potential there is in my life of prayer, that God will do anything that I ask him to do for me. If I will believe with all my heart, I will receive that. Do we act upon that promise? Have faith in God. I want to say two things today to you about having faith in God. Number one is that God will do wonderful works for you. And then number two, God will do wonderful works in you. God will do wonderful works for you through prayer. Did you know that if you'll pray to God, God will give you money? God will give you a job. God will give you a car. God will give you healing to your body. God will give you the things that you need, not the things you greed, but the things that you need for life. If you will ask the Lord for these things, God will give them to you. Anything that we need, he said he will provide. It says he knows what things we have need of before we even ask. But James tells us we have not because we ask not. There are many things in people's lives that they are going without these days because they've just simply never asked the Lord for them. They just never maybe thought about it. I think there's some people in this room right now. Now, it's not always God's will to heal, but I think there's probably some people in this room right now who have some physical infirmity in their body that you do not need to have. You just have not yet asked God to heal your body, and he will do it for you. I think there's needs that some of you have, that some of you worry about, that you don't need to have, that God will answer those prayers for you if you will pray about everything. The Bible says we ought to make our requests known to God. And he has told us, Come unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah taught us that promise. James said, The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we need to effectually and fervently pray to God to see what he will do for us. I have a large book in my office called An Encyclopedia of Christian Biographies. Inside of it, there's over 4,000 biographies of great Christians that have lived since the first century, all the way up till 2007, I think, when they stopped cataloging them. And the only thing you have to do to get in the book is you have to die. And you have, whoops, there goes my water. You have to die, and you have to be have been a Christian that did something for God. And as I was going through, could you get me some more water? I won't spill it this time. I'll need it in a minute here, though. But as I was going through this book, I came across the name of a man by the name of George Mueller. And they put little captions over the names of these 4,000 people in this book of Christian biographies. And his said this, History's greatest man of faith. History's greatest man of faith. And I thought, wow, now there's an illustration for my sermon this morning. So I have been studying about George Mueller for about the last month. Thank you, brother. I'm going to clear out of here. Thanks. I've been studying about George Mueller, and you know, one of the great men of God that passed away recently, and I had the chance to hear him preach on many occasions, was Dr. Lee Roberson. He one time said these words, and I wrote it in my Bible. He said, "Build your faith upon the Word of God and upon great men of the past." Build your faith upon the Word of God and upon great men of the past. George Mueller was from Bristol, England. He grew up, he was a ruffian, he was a punk, he was a thief, he was a drunk. His dad didn't know what to do with him, so his dad enlisted him in a Lutheran college and told him, go and be a minister, they make a lot of money. And maybe they did back then in England, I don't know what that was about. But he went there and he would take all the money that his dad would send him into the mail, and he'd go to the Lutheran school in the daytime, and he'd go to the bars and the clubs and the women in the evening and so on and so forth. And he was learning the Bible and learning how to memorize the right answers and everything. But his whole life was changed one day when one of the students said, "Hey, I want you to go to this house meeting that they're having down the road." And he said, "Well, what do they do there?" He says, "Well, they read the Bible and they sing songs, and then the guy preaches a sermon, and then they pray." And so he went along, and George Mueller, he was 21 years of age at the time, saw a man get down on his knees and pray to God and talk to God as though he really knew God. And his life was so profoundly changed by that prayer meeting, because in the Lutheran school, he was just taught to read prayers out of a book and quote prayers out of the Bible and everything. I'm not saying all Lutherans are like that. There's a lot of good Lutherans, but that's what he was learning in college. And he actually had his eyes open while this guy was praying, and he said, "This guy's talking to God like he really knows him." And he began to go back out of curiosity, and pretty soon he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and at age 21 years of age, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he was born again. He began to live for God, and he began to change his life, and he repented of his past, and he was a new creature in Jesus Christ, and he started telling everybody he could about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the age of 25, he became a pastor. Pastored a small church. During that time, he said to the church, I want you to know that I'll be your pastor, but God has called me to be a missionary. I will eventually be leaving here. But then a tremendous cholera outbreak swept over England, just killing thousands and thousands of adults and leaving all kinds of little boys and girls all over England as orphans. These little boys and girls were then swept up by the government and put in what were called workhouses, what we call today sweatshops, in deplorable conditions. Mr. Mueller and his wife became burdened for these, pretty soon, he said, you know, he says, we've got to try to take care of some of these. And so he began to talk to some of them on the streets, and he began to have them come over for dinner. And pretty soon, he had about six orphans coming to his house, and his wife and him became very, very burdened for them. That they said, you know, we not only have to have this church going here in England, but we also have to do something for these orphans. And so at the age of 31 years of age, he opened up his first orphanage with 26 orphans that he cared for. That thing grew, and over the 40 years that followed, he got to the point where his orphanages cared for 2,100 children every single day. And they had to build building upon building upon building. Through his life, he ministered to more than 10,000 orphans, as well as 121,000 other children in his Christian schools, and sent out 163 missionaries. But there was something unique about him and his faith. Before he started the orphanage, when he was a young pastor, he covenanted with God and with his wife that they would receive everything they needed for the ministry and for the orphanage through prayer. That he would never ask a human being what he needed. God would be the only one, and that they would pray very, very, very specific prayers. If they needed potatoes, they would pray for potatoes. If they needed bread, they would pray for bread. If they needed milk, they would pray for milk, so they knew when they got the specific answer that that was exactly what they prayed for from God. And they would never tell another human being. When George Mueller died, they found a log of over 20,000 specific answers to prayer that God had done for him in his life that he never asked any human being for. And it's just astounding, some of the things that were written in there. But he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. During those 40 years of leading the orphanage, he said there was a seven-year season, 7 years, where at the end of every day for 7 years, he had no money and no food. For 7 years. And at the end of his life, he said this, not one orphan in our orphanage ever missed a meal. They were well taken care of, they were well clothed, they were well housed. He said, but for 7 years, every day he had to pray in the morning for the money and for the food to feed them by the evening. He had so many stories about this. I remember one story he said where the children all sat down, and keep in mind there's 2,000 of them at a time, and there were hundreds at this time. It hadn't grown that big. There was no food. They were there at the tables and their chairs and their plates, and he says, kids, let's give thanks to the Lord for the food we are about to receive. As he bowed his head for prayer, he began to thank the Lord. A knock came at the door. And a lady came with a whole load of fresh bread and butter and molasses. And she said, I don't know what it was, but the Lord told me to make this warm bread and butter and molasses and to bring it down here for the kids. And he said, that's wonderful. And they spread it out, and there was enough for everybody to be full that night. But they needed something to drink. As they were eating the bread, a man knocked at the door, and he was a milkman. He had a huge cart of milk, and one of the tires fell off of the cart. He came in to Mr. Mueller, and he said, Mr. Mueller, he said, in order for me to change the tire on this cart, I have to unload the cart. Would you by any chance need this milk? I can't get the cart up high enough to change the tire unless I empty off the cart. Could you use this milk? And they brought the milk in, and he documented 20,000 answers to prayer like that. He also printed 111 million gospel tracts. To give you an idea of how many that is, we've printed about 2 million as a church. He printed 111 million gospel tracts. During his life, and this is back in the 1800s, he prayed in over $5 million for the buildings and the care of those orphans without ever asking anybody but God for any money. During that time, the church he pastored grew to an average attendance of 1,200 people. He retired from the orphanages at the age of 70 and spent the next 22 years of his life holding evangelistic meetings in 42 countries because there was such a demand for him from the body of Christ all over the world to come, and they always said the same thing, could you come and teach us how to live by faith? He said there was a problem, however, in his ministry. And that was the people who listened to him. He said so many of them reasoned and said, well, of course God's going to do that for you. You're a pastor. And you have orphanages. And so he would challenge people in every congregation to get themselves some paper. And he would challenge everybody. He said, I want you to pray for something between you and God and never tell another human being what you're praying for, and see if God doesn't provide that for you. pretty soon he had a church full of people who had page after page after page after page of testimonies of things that they were very, very specific about in their prayers for God to do for them, where they really put their faith on the line to see if they had faith. And pretty soon he had church. His church was full of people living by faith. And everywhere he went, he would challenge people to do the same thing. And you know what? God did it for people just as quickly as he'd do it for pastors. Well, that's our challenge today. Have faith in God. God can do great things for you. He had a tremendous staff. He would receive 30,000 letters per year in five languages that he needed nine staff members just to answer all of the letters that people had asking him about his faith in God. Somebody called him in the book History's Greatest Man of Faith. I would encourage you to read anything you can about George Mueller. The man that took over for him when he died, G. Fred Bergen, said these words from his experience with George Mueller. He said these words. He said, "Tell my younger brethren that they may be too big for God to use them, but they can never be too small." And this man lived by faith for 71 years of his life. God never failed him one time for anything he ever asked for from God in the will of the Lord. Have faith in God. God can do great things for you. And second of all, I want to say God can do great things in you. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 3. This point will be a little bit shorter, but I want to go through three consecutive books, and I want you to look for the word in. God can do great things in you. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Beyond anything you've ever asked in prayer or ever thought was possible, according to God's power, he can work in us. Turn to the next book, Philippians 1 and verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." I want you to notice that God is working in you, and that he is going to continue to work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2 and verse 13, Philippians 2:13. "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Go to the next book, Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." You see, God can do things for us. George Mueller proved that. You can prove that. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The Bible says George Mueller took that and he believed it, and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And they say that from his prayer life, that he would pray for something, and if he knew it was God's will for him to have that, he would pray every single day until he got it, and God never failed him. Oh, by the way, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In his life, George Mueller read through the Bible 100 times on his knees. He read through the Bible over 200 times in his life, but over 100 times on his knees. And you know what happens when you read the Bible through 100 times? I don't know. I'm only up to 32. But you begin to get a picture of God that you can't get out of your mind or out of your heart, that God is omnipresent, God is omniscient, God is omnipotent, and God is immutable. He's all present, He's all knowing, He's all powerful, and He never changes. And when a person gets a grasp of that from the Bible and begins to act upon it, there is no limit of what God will do for that individual. But God not only wants to do things for you, brethren, some of the greatest things God ever wants to do are things that He wants to do in you. It is God that worketh in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He that hath begun a good work in us shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, God wants to change us. God wants to transform us. God wants to make us more like Christ. And He's got a long ways to go for some of us. But He doesn't quit. He wants to work in you. Do you have an inferiority complex? God wants to take that away from you. Do you have a negative spirit? God wants to change you. Do you have an inward addiction that is hidden to every man's eyes except you know it? Do you have an addiction to lust? Do you have an addiction to pride, to vanity? Do you have a bad attitude, a negative spirit? Do you have a lack of love? Do you have a lack of faith? Do you have a lack of patience? Are you filled with hatred? Are you filled with unbelief and prejudice? Racism? You know, the greatest things God can ever do for us, He wants to do on the inside. Do you have an addiction to alcohol? Do you have an addiction to pornography? Do you have an addiction to drugs? Somebody was just telling me about the University of Buffalo, how they're trying to find women who were not on depressants, antidepressants, so they could have a big study. Two women showed up. There's a lot more women than that. They just probably didn't hear the ad or something. They canceled the whole study. They could only find two women that would show up for this study that were not on antidepressants. You don't need antidepressants. You can have God. You can have His joy. You can have His peace, His love. These are the fruit of the Holy Ghost. You would not believe what God wants to do. Have you been abused? Do you live with the trauma of abuse in your life? Have you been raped? Have you been neglected by a father? Have you been deserted by parents? With all of the issues that those things breed in people? Have you flooded your mind in the past with rock music and pornography and violent video games and so on and so forth? Did you know that God wants to get in you and work and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus? This book says, therefore, if any man be, and here's the key, in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Pastor Howe, have faith in God. The last I read in this book, and I read it over and over, God is still almighty. And He has declared to us, with God nothing shall be impossible. What do you need? What do you need? Was God partial to George Mueller? No, He has told us He's not partial to anybody. In fact, James told us partiality is a sin. Maybe the fault is we're not praying. Maybe the fault is we're not believing while we pray. Maybe the fault is our God is so small in our opinion that he couldn't move an anthill, let alone a mountain. This book will change your opinion. But we've got to shut our televisions off. We've got to shut the sports off. We've got to get the books out. The book of God, and read great biographies of men and women of faith. And get on your knees and have a set time of prayer where you ask specifically four things and for God to work in you. And let me just say this in conclusion. If you say, I'm here today, Pastor, and I don't need this sermon, okay, someone else needs it. So you pray that God will work for them and in them. Because not only can your prayers help you, and God wants to do great things for you. God wants to do great things in you. But through your prayers, God wants to do great things in people, other people, and for other people. Have you ever prayed for somebody and seen God meet their needs? That'll bless your heart more than theirs. When God moves on their behalf because you prayed for them, they might not even know how to pray. But you can pray for them. I'd like us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.